This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. A massive new U.S. government report on climate is warning extreme weather disasters will get worse. AP Sagar Magani has the latest.
The White House report was quietly issued on Black Friday, with critics contending it's an administration attempt to bury it and continue denying climate science. The report frequently contradicts the president, who's often questioned how much climate change is caused by humans. But the report from outside scientists and officials with 13 federal agencies warns wildfires and hurricanes are getting worse. It details how global warming is hurting each U.S. region, presenting growing challenges to the economy, human health, and quality of life. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Jeremy Corsi, conservative writer and conspiracy theorist who is an associate of President Trump and Trump confidant Roger Stone, said on his podcast that he anticipates legal action by special counsel Robert Mueller looking into Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. election.
I fully anticipate that in the next few days I will be indicted by Mueller for some form or other of giving false information to the special counsel or to one of the other grand jury or however they want to do the indictment. But I'm going to be criminally charged.
Mueller's team questioned Corsi about Stone's links to WikiLeaks and material that hindered Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign against President Trump. Corsi is a former Washington bureau chief of the conspiracy theory website InfoWars. Taiwan's ruling party suffered a major defeat in local elections Saturday, seen as a referendum on the administration of the island's independence-leaning president, and amid growing economic and political pressure from China. President Tsai Ing-wen's Democratic Progressive Party lost the mayoral election to the Nationalist Party in the southern port city, where the DPP had held power for 20 years. This is VOA News. Authorities in Afghanistan say unknown gunmen assassinated a top Islamic cleric in Kabul Saturday, while anti-insurgency operations elsewhere in the volatile country killed an American service member and two Afghan soldiers. City policemen told VOA that they found the body of Malawi Abdul Basir Haqqani, the deputy head of Kabul's religious council, in an area of the capital. Police have arrested a man for a suspected role in the incident, and an investigation was underway to determine the motive. No one immediately claimed responsibility for the deadly attack. European Union negotiators met to finalize the draft withdrawal treaty between Britain and the bloc before Sunday's summit to endorse the Brexit deal, but at the 11th hour, Spain demanded guarantees over the future of Gibraltar. Ceded to Britain in 1713 but still claimed by Spain, Britain reached an agreement with the European Commission on the draft text of a political declaration of its exit from the European Union. Prime Minister Theresa May did outline the details.
It will deliver a 20-month implementation period so that we have time to put our new future relationship in place and that businesses have time to prepare for it. It will protect the rights of EU citizens living in the UK and UK citizens living in the EU so they can carry on living their lives as before. It will ensure a fair settlement on our financial obligations. Less than half what some originally expected.
Prime Minister May said the deal delivers on the will of the British people as expressed in a Brexit referendum in June of 2016. British critics of the deal believe it binds Britain too closely to Europe-wide regulations while leaving it with no say in formulating those directives. An official says China will go along with changes meant to update global trade rules so long as they project and protect Beijing's status as a developing country. AP's Charles de Ledesma.
U.S. officials have complained the World Trade Organization is too bureaucratic and slow to adapt to today's business conditions. In view of change, China had agreed in June to work with the EU to propose adaptations to trade rules to address technology policy, subsidies, and state industry. Now China's deputy commerce minister says each country's development model must be respected. That's a reference to China's state-dominated economy, which has provoked repeated complaints Beijing is violating its market opening obligations. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Police firing tear gas and water cannons clashed with protesters in Paris who were angry over rising fuel costs and President Emmanuel Macron's economic policies. It's the second weekend of yellow vest protests across France. A trailer was set on fire and exploded, and a man who tried to attack firefighters is overpowered by some of the demonstrators themselves. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington.
People in the DRC, politicians know that actually the heaviest machine is going to be actually in the hand of Felix Tshisekedi. And like I keep on telling you,
a new opposition alliance emerges in the Democratic Republic of Congo ahead of the upcoming December polls.
You need a commitment of the need of continuing fighting corruption, because corruption has made very badly to our country and to our people.
Angolan President João Lourenço and former President José Eduardo dos Santos disagree over the country's financial health.
We are aware that the construction of the most expensive roads in the world, that in itself is something they did, and Soviet Union will always remember them for that, whether for good or for bad, it's a personal decision.
And Sierra Leonean President Brigadier Julius Maada Bio embarks upon a thank you tour in the main opposition party stronghold this weekend. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Vital Kamerhe and Felix Tshisekedi, two prominent opposition leaders in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, have formed an alliance ahead of the December 23 presidential election. The alliance, which was announced Friday, would have Felix Tshisekedi, leader of the main opposition party Union for Democracy and Social Progress, or UDPS, serve as presidential candidate for the two parties. This after Kamerhe announced his support and withdrew from the upcoming poll. For more about the latest political alliance, I reach Abraham Luakabwanga, National Secretary in charge of communication for the main opposition UDPS.
I think this is really a winning ticket, since President Vital Kamerhe is so well known and also has experience of managing the country. Let me remind you that he was the president of the Congress for a couple of years, knowing also that actually he is one of the leaders of the east side of the Congo, where you can find 49% of voters for that election. So knowing that Felix Tshisekedi can run in the center and in the west side of the Congo, adding Vital Kamerhe, this is really a winning ticket.
But some people are saying this latest development will split the opposition vote right down the middle and allow the ruling party presidential candidate to win, because you have Fayulu on the one hand being supported by other opposition groups and you have Felix Tshisekedi being supported by Vital Kamerhe and another side. Why not form a united alliance like you did in Geneva that presents a better opportunity for the opposition to defeat the ruling party, because you have the same objective anyway?
Analysts are saying this. Since we have this huge ticket representing 55% of the opposition, things will happen. Actually, the ticket of Fayulu will drop down. People will be leaving his side to join the winning team. So basically, and even I can give you an example. Moses Katumbi says that Felix Tshisekedi was his choice. But since he failed in Geneva, he had nothing to do. What will be the next move that Mr. Moses Katumbi will do, since now Felix is the running ticket between Vital Kamerhe and himself? So we're waiting for, like I said, for a couple of days, 1 or 2 days, they're going to be a huge shift that's going to back up the ticket. And I think for sure, so Mr. Fayulu may end up, you know, being himself in his ticket.
Is your party, led by Felix Tshisekedi, going to engage Fayulu as well to bring him to your camp? And some people are questioning that Mr. Tshisekedi should not be trusted because he signed a deal only to withdraw and go it alone, they said.
Listen, President Donald Trump withdrew from the G7 accord few hours after signing it. So what happened is this. Our party, which is actually based on democracy, our people decided that President Tshisekedi should involve the party with a ticket backing up Mr. Fayulu. As an example, Mr. Martin Fayulu was elected in 2011 with only 8,000 voters, knowing that on that year, 2011, President Tshisekedi, the late Tshisekedi, won those elections with more than 50% that he could not actually prove. We are sure that something will shift for the next couple of days. And I may tell you that people have been calling President Tshisekedi since he won his ticket today. And by God's grace, there should be another, you know, a movement that is going to be behind his ticket that is going to clinch up the victory for December 23rd.
So where does this alliance between Vital Kamerhe and Felix Tshisekedi heading currently in the next few days? What is in store for them?
We had polls that came down from late October from the New York University. Those polls showed that President Tshisekedi had 36%. He was followed by President Vital Kamerhe with 19% and 16%, 17% for the candidate of the FCC. So if you just add a 36 plus 10, 19, you end up with 55%. While Martin Fayulu had only 8%. So we were actually shocked by the result that came out from Geneva, knowing that the best ticket, the winning ticket, should have been the discussion between President Vital Kamerhe and President Felix Tshisekedi. So when they were actually pushed by their own base to withdraw their candidacy, actually their signature, that opened another door for a bilateral discussion that ended up with the result that you heard today. So people in the DRC, politicians, knows that actually the heaviest machine is going to be actually in the hand of Felix Tshisekedi. And like I keep on telling you, in the next 48 hours, you will see a lot of people joining his ticket for the winning victory on December 23rd.
Abraham Luakabwanga is the National Secretary in charge of communication for the main opposition Union for Democracy and Social Progress, or UDPS. He spoke with me from the Congolese capital, Kinshasa. There are sharp disagreements between Angolan President João Lourenço and former President José Eduardo dos Santos. Acide Sakala, an opposition member of the Angolan parliament and the spokesman for the main opposition party, UNITA, blames the tension on the ongoing fight against corruption. His remark came after President Lourenço said he inherited empty state coffers. But in a sharp rebuttal, former President dos Santos, who ruled Angola for 38 years, said there was an estimated $15 billion in the National Bank of Angola before he stepped down. To learn more about the stance of the opposition regarding the disagreement, I reached opposition parliamentarian Alcide Sakala in the Angolan capital, Luanda.
Before his departure to Portugal, Mr. João Lourenço, he gave a big interview in a weekly newspaper of Portugal called The Expresso, where João Lourenço raised a couple of issues, important points as far as his assessment of the situation is concerned. And one of the points that he stressed is that when he took over, the process of transition was not done according to the law, and the money at that time has completely disappeared for the reasons that everybody knows. And what is a surprise is the fact that now Mr. dos Santos came out with this strong statement. Apart what I've said, it reflects as well the deepening of contradictions between those who are followers of Eduardo dos Santos and those who are the followers of João Lourenço.
Is really the sharp disagreement between Eduardo dos Santos, the former president, and current president João Lourenço about money, or is it about fighting against corruption, which some Angolans say the president has embarked that has touched even the family of the former president?
That's correct. Mr. dos Santos is identified 100% with the institutionalizing process of corruption in the country. Is one of the biggest corruption scandal in Angola. because all the public money has disappeared. And Jean Lorenzo are getting close to UNITA position has reaffirmed his will to continue the struggle against corruption in the country, which is very, very, very positive. And Dos Santos, he would like to see his influence again and be able to control the new president, because according to some sources in Luanda, Eduardo Dos Santos has influence of choosing João Lourenço as a candidate at that time, which is now the president of the republic. So what is going on now is that there is two well-identified groups. One is those who are conservatives who would like to see the corruption flowing as in the past with the influence of Dos Santos, and those, this new generation around Lourenço, who wants to keep up with political reforms in the country.
What was the turning point in the relationship between the two gentlemen, looking at the fact that João Lourenço was in the cabinet of José Eduardo Dos Santos, so he must be aware that there was money or not. But Eduardo Dos Santos insists that he left $15 billion in the National Bank of Angola. So where was the turning point?
Well, that's what Dos Santos is saying. But why has so taken more than a year to come out with this statement, while in the past people were already saying that the country was in a total economical and financial collapse? And I think the turning point is the strong commitment of João Lourenço to continuing the fighting of corruption. At least as we reaffirming his willingness, his intentions to continuing with this process.
So what is the stance of your party, the main opposition party in Angola, over this controversy about whether the money was there or not?
Well, the money was not there. Everybody knows about it anyway. I think the Santos are choosing this opportunity to embarrass João Lourenço while he is in Portugal. It is an important state visit. Our stand on that, we are still reiterating UNITA commitment of the need of continuing fighting corruption, because corruption has made very badly to our country and to our people.
Alcide Sakala is an Angolan opposition parliamentarian and the spokesman for the main opposition party, UNITA. He spoke with me from Luanda. Sierra Leonean President Brigadier Julius Maada Bio is on a thank you tour in the country's northern region this weekend. His stops include Tonkolili and Bombali Northern District, seen as the stronghold of the main opposition party All People's Congress, or APC, and presidential candidate Samora Kamara. The opposition supporters say the president's tour is meant to tarnish the reputation of the APC and to create tension which they contend could lead to violence, accusations the government denies. For more on the president's tour, I reach Information Minister Mohamed Radu Suare.
His Excellency President Julius Maada Bio just literally arrived in Makene, the northern city which is home to the former president of Sierra Leone. His first stop on the journey is Masongo, a small village on the outskirts, where he is bid to officially turn over the soil for the construction of a healthcare center. From there, he is driving in his convoy to the stadium in Bombali district in Makene, where he will be welcomed by throngs of people. Columns of people are already lined up the streets to receive him and to give him a befitting entry into Makene.
What is his program like on Saturday?
His Excellency traveled over to the neighboring city of Maburuka, which is the headquarter town of Sonkolili District, where he also undertake a couple of activities, but more essentially, to extend his thanks and appreciation to the people of that great district for having voted him as president in this year's election.
So what is the significance of this weekend tour by President Julius Maada Bio?
Well, it's significant in more ways than one. In the first instance, this is the first official visit in Spain to this part of the country since he ascended to the presidency. You could recall that 2 weeks ago, he paid a similar visit to Bo and Kenema, which are the strongholds of the party on whose ticket he became president. So 2 weeks later, he is here in another city. So this is his first official visit as president. The last time he was here as candidate of the then opposition Sierra Leone People's Party. So this is quite a quantum leap. Apart from that, you know, he will be delivering key and critical messages that are important to the development of our country. Firstly, he will be discussing his introduction of a free quality education. He'll be discussing issues around national cohesion, national unity. But more importantly, he will be talking about the need to work together as Sierra Leoneans so that we are able to realize our national development aspirations together as a nation.
Some of his critics are saying that this weekend tour to the stronghold of the APC is all politically motivated, shrouded in a thank you tour. How do you respond to that?
Well, the critics will have said the same thing if he did not come to the northern stronghold now. So it is important that he's here. He has been very, very clear on our video. When he was sworn in, he pledged to be president for the whole of Sierra Leone. In his inauguration, he reiterated that. And in his state opening of parliament, he reemphasized it. So every inch of the way, President Bio has reiterated his commitment to a national vision. This is not about politics. He's president of Sierra Leone. And therefore, it's important that he's here to visit his people, to interact with them, so that he's able to come to terms firsthand of the existential challenges that they face and how we could work together as one nation, one country, and one people to resolve them. So this is not politics. His critics, of course, will say virtually everything, right, as they choose.
They also added that the president seeks to undermine the party by going to his stronghold and demonizing the party by saying the party did not do anything for those living in, particularly in the north part of Sierra Leone, where the president is visiting this weekend. And they called for the president not to engage in any partisan politics to cause disaffection and tension in that part of the country.
President Bio is not here on a partisan ticket. He is here as president of Sierra Leone. This government has launched various instruments recently in parliament, for example, the three constitutional instruments to institute commissions of inquiry, because we believe any information lacuna will provide cannon fodder for detractors to tribalize, regionalize, and politicize the commissions of inquiry. But President Bio has always been clear. These commissions are geared towards ending impunity. They are geared towards ensuring that the current and future generations of leaders treat their leadership responsibilities seriously and not arrogate themselves the right to confiscate public goods to private ends. That is the point. So he has said repeatedly, and this is my take, nobody misappropriates state resources for their tribe. Nobody does so for their political parties. Nobody does so for their region. People must come out in the open and subject themselves to democratic accountability. This is all we are asking for. This is not to cause disfavor for anybody. This is not to demonize anybody. It is merely putting things in context. I mean, nobody in the APC never did anything. We are aware that they constructed some of the most expensive roads in the world. That in itself is something they did, and Sierra Leoneans will always remember them for that, whether for good or for bad. It's a personal decision.
Mohamed Rado Soare is the Sierra Leonean Information Minister. He spoke with me from the capital, Freetown. Ethiopian government arrested more than 60 leading figures from the National Intelligence Service and Security and the state-owned conglomerate Metals and Engineering Corporation, or METEC. They are accused of violating human rights of citizens and participating in organized corruption. Meanwhile, the government has also made great strides in elevating women in positions of power. Hussein Kiflu is a political commentator and a member of the Ethiopian diaspora in the United States. My colleague Douglas Impuga reached him in Dallas, Texas, for a comment on these developments.
In a way, it's a good move, but then I also have my reservations when it comes to restoring the rule of law. because these people, as you know, are the members of the ruling party, EPRDF, that is Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front, and most of them came from the faction that dominates the EPRDF, and that is the Tigray People's Liberation Front. So we know that these people have been very corrupt and have also been engaged in some egregious human rights abuses. But the problem is that the Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed himself, came from EPRDF, and his own Attorney General has been appointed by his predecessor, Hailemariam Desalegn, if not Malla Zenawi. And just a couple of months ago, the Attorney General himself, when criticized by Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International and other rights group, he denied that there is no, you know, abuse of power, no corruption, no human rights, you know, no torture. And he's on record denying all this. Now he accuses these people of corruption and also egregious human rights abuses. So that makes it very, very self-defeating. So personally, I'm not yet sure whether the power struggle has culminated to a point that Abiy has to lash out against his rivals, going back against his own clemency, reconciliation. So I'm not sure whether this is to restore rule of law or whether the power struggle between the faction groups in the EPRDF has culminated to a point that they have to start this, what we call selective justice. And if it's selective justice, we're going to be back to square one. So that is my reservation on this point.
Are there some truths to those who claim that this might be a politically driven crackdown?
And there is a grain of truth in that allegation. Because, like I told you, the Attorney General himself, his integrity has highly compromised. There are also other very corrupt individuals in the EPRDF, but now they are allying themselves with Abiy Ahmed, and they haven't been touched. And there is no indication that these people will also be brought, to the court of law. Yes, it might be said that it's a politically driven measure.
On the other hand, there are some signs that Ethiopia is moving on the right track on the political front. Now it has a woman president, and just recently a lady was chosen to be the new chairperson of the National Electoral Board of Ethiopia.
Yes, these are good signs. When it comes to the president is just a symbol, so I don't see her relevance. But the hopeful signs I see is on the appointment of the president of the Supreme Court. Her name is Mazhar Shanafi. She has a proven track record when it comes to rule of law, when it comes to human rights situations. She has been chairman of the Ethiopian Women's Lawyers Association. So she has that track record. And then Botukan Midexa, the one who has been appointed as chief of the election commission. That is also another positive step. But both of them, they have a tremendous challenge. They have to find capable professionals, judges, you know, other professionals whose integrity hasn't been compromised. And I don't know how they're going to achieve that. These are the challenges that they are going to face.
Talking of challenges, holding fair and free elections has always been the dark spot for the Electoral Commission in Ethiopia ever since the country was declared a republic. How do you see things changing in this situation?
The one change that I really see is Burtukan cannot be subservient to any authority, and she has a track record of dealing with facts and adjudicating facts in accordance with the law. So when it comes to election, I'm pretty sure that she can do everything in her power to ensure that fair and free election will take place in Ethiopia. But again, the very fact that the constitution itself is based upon ethnic politics, and already there are some ethnic regional, so-called regional governments, they're coming up with all sorts of demands to hold a referendum, you know, to have some kind of autonomy, and how she's going to conduct this referendum and how she overcomes this challenge, that is what I don't know.
Hussein Kiflu is a political commentator and a member of the Ethiopian diaspora in the United States. He spoke with my colleague Douglas Impuga from Dallas, Texas.
And you are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, Gabon's main opposition leader, Jean Ping, plans to hold a rally in the capital, Libreville, Saturday. His supporters are concerned that the government violated the constitution by stopping Ping's pre-planned rally Friday. Authorities cited security concerns for refusing permission to hold the rally. Meanwhile, opposition groups say the government has not been forthcoming about the health of President Ali Bongo Ondimba. The remark came after officials said the president will be transferred from a hospital in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to a hospital in the Moroccan capital Rabat to continue his recovery. For the latest political development, I read Blanche Simone Abege, spokesperson for the Gabonese main opposition leader, Jean Ping.
3 days ago, the former prime minister, Jean-Éric Gendo, who is really close to Jean Ping, wrote to the minister dealing with rally or march or things like that in Libreville and say, the law said you have to inform authorities that you're holding something, a rally or a march. So he did. He wrote to him saying, we plan to have a rally on Friday at a place called Carrefour Rio, which is a kind of crossroad. And yes, this morning we have newspaper issuing saying that the minister refused. He didn't authorize us to hold that rally at Rio. And what is not really, normal, because he has not to forbid a rally, but he has to make the rally goes well.
Did the officials tell you the reason why they are refusing?
There is no real reason. They just said they don't want it to take place. You can organize a rally in a private place, not in public place. So there is no freedom of expression in Gabon, as you know.
Well, some say that your supporters usually attack the police. So in order to ensure peace and tranquility in Libreville and surrounding areas, that's why you were not given the permission to hold your rally in Libreville. How do you respond to that?
The role of the power is to keep peace. I mean, if they're not able to keep peace, it's not worth it. We advise them to come and then organize and go with us. And organize with us so that everything goes right. But they didn't. They haven't accepted at any time. They cannot say in 9 years now, they cannot say we authorize this rally and it won't go. Nothing.
Well, some Gabonese are saying for the last 1 month they've not heard from their president, Ali Bongo Ondimba. Others are saying that since the government is running smoothly and the government officials have said that he is recovering from the medical treatment he's seeking in Saudi Arabia, there's no need for people to question it until he gets well and returns to Gabon. What do you say to that?
It's really strange because, as you know, they don't have any information about Ali Bongo's health. Nobody knows, except that they have news from newspapers such as Jeune Afrique or La Lettre du Continent, which comes out to replace the officials in Gabon. There is nothing is said. So Gabonese people really don't know what is going on with Ali Bongo's health. Nothing.
Isn't the information the government provided enough?
There is no information, not really any information from the government. The only information we get is from Jeune Afrique, which is a newspaper, or La Lettre du Continent, which is another newspaper. There is no official information concerning Ali Bongo's health. Nothing is said. Nothing is given. Really, officially, nothing is said.
Blanche Simone Abege is the spokesperson for the Gabonese main opposition leader, Jean Ping. She spoke with me from the capital, Libreville. Senegalese Sini Samba, an agro-food engineer, co-founded the Leon Sal
a company specializing in baby food. She manufactured a local alternative which she says will improve the nutritional needs of children as well as help local producers. Ms. Samba spoke with VOA's French to Africa reporter Raissa Girondin from the Senegalese capital, Dakar.
It all started when I was in France, where I used to work for the leading company in infant nutrition as a food processing engineer in R&D. Then I became passionate by the field of early childhood, and I developed an expertise in infant nutrition. Then I started asking questions about my native country, Senegal. I was curious to see what does mom give to their babies. And then I was shocked to see that in Senegal, 19% of children of under 5 are suffering from malnutrition. And parents are asking more and more questions about the infant nutrition. And in the other part, we see that there are a lot of farm losses. So the farmers, they lose more than 50% of their production. And the last point is that in the market of baby toys in Senegal today, there are only imported products. That's why I decided to value the resources by creating this company.
Do you plan to touch a bigger market in the continent?
Yes, of course, because when we see in the other country, for example, in West Africa, we see that it is the same problem. A lot of malnutrition issues, and we have a lot of farm losses, and in the market, only imported products. That's why we really plan to develop our products in the other country and to replicate our model in West Africa, because I think that today, more than ever, we just have to value our local resources and to put them to the benefit of the children to the continent.
How you distinguish yourself from the competition?
We only use local natural resources, which are very rich nutritionally. So we use super grain like fonio or millet, and we use also super fruits like baobab fruit. So this is our main difference with the competitors. And also, we are building a community with parents. We try to answer to their questions about infant nutrition and to be very in proximity with them.
Do you think parents will be willing to pay a little bit more to support your product?
Yes, because today parents are more and more open-minded about the local product. The challenge is that we, today, food processors, we have to provide them products which are very rich nutritionally, and also the quality, which have to answer to the international standards. So I think that parents will go to pay for the products, and of course it will help other countries to grow our economic development.
What is the main or what kind of obstacles you had to overcome?
Is the sourcing of the raw materials. Because, for example, today in Senegal, we have our local banana, which is in the south of the country. And today, we don't have yet infrastructure which allow us to go easily in the south. And farmers don't have also the resources to bring their products at the town, and so today it is a very big problem. And for me, it arrived on the time where I have to wait 2 months to have the accessibility of my raw materials and to do my processing. So it is a very big problem.
And right now it's time for music from our African collection. You'll be hearing Rude Boy featuring Pato Ranking together. Yemi Alade featuring Nyashinki with Nakupenda. Becca featuring Kizes Dani Gina.
Even though every day we fight, girl, I still know you. I still adore you. I appreciate since I set my eyes on you. Yeah, you knock me out. You freak me out, then you knock me out. Whenever, however, anyhow, where you like me, give me, we gon' stay together forever. Our love is wide and free. Anytime, whenever, however, anyhow, where you like me, give me, we gon' stay together forever. Stay together, fight together.
Don't let me realize it. God got you specially for me, but you, baby, yeah, and even you know I said, my love for you is so real, yeah, not even maybe. Oh, hey, you are the captain of my ship. Baby, when you are shower me, I love to peep. All the promises, yes, me I keep. The ringing of your finger, my love is not cheap. Oh, hey, yeah, you give me joy every day. Yeah, yeah, you make me happy every day. The other wrong you told me, do me promise to the right. Girl, I hate it when we quarrel and we fight. At night, forever in my arms, me I hold you so tight.
Talk about people. How do I talk about loving? you, Gina. No need to thank you, Gina. Too much for me, oh Gina. Like the way you do, oh Gina. Oh,
Gina,
you my Gina. Want to take you out on a dinner. I want to call you one more tenor. Make you love again. Take my hand and fly away with me. I'm surely gonna miss you where you live. I don't know. For the matter, I go soon pep for the matter. I no go feel too cool for the matter. Sit back, relax for the ride, yo. You know I'm bad than I better. I saw all them with it so sure. Now only you for the matter. Now only you for the matter.
It's supposed to be my baby. It's supposed to give me baby one time.
DG and SPZ, what we tell them, blaze them. Look at you in that dress, girl, you dangerous like a gun. Give them you nothing less, girl, you murder everyone. Your love is a killer. Your love is a killer. Hey, look at you in that dress, girl, you dangerous like a gun. Give them you nothing less, girl, you murder everyone. Your love is a killer. Your love is a killer. Yeah, look at you. Somebody call the popo. Cause the way that she looking is so cool. If you ain't ready, then you need to go home. And beware, just see her rolling on a solo. She got me begging Odo. And she all up on me like a logo. But I'm not complaining. My baby, let's go, go, go. She killin' with the dance, she murder with the waist. Everybody watch her when she turn up in the place. You ain't got a chance if you really tryna race. She already had a finish line with her pace. I showed her went down, then she went low. Gave it to her battle like she in a relay. Thing is she don't know how beautiful she is every day. Look
dangerous like a gun. Give them you nothing less. Girl, you murder everyone. Your love is a killer. Your love is a killer.
Franco.
You are listening to Ya Jam by Madilu System. But before then, you heard Dangerous Love by Fuse ODG featuring Sean Paul. And that was Music from the Continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sali, reporter Douglas Impuga, producer Saida Hamdoun, and our engineer for today, Mr. Cornelius Tino. We say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, you do not teach the paths of the forest to an old gorilla. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.